These last 2 weeks, you know, we've been praying over the Philippines and the Asian Pacific region. We know that there was some typhoons that hit there just last week. There was two typhoons that hit. And the second typhoon was actually classified as a super typhoon. And the winds were over 115 miles an hour, with gusts up to 145 miles an hour. So the rain band of this typhoon was 1,118 miles long. That's like from the west coast of California all the way through to Colorado. That's huge, you know? It says that there were 1.4 million people just in the Philippines that were displaced and had to evacuate. We have our own Raul there right now. I don't know if we have an update on that, but we've been praying for him. Amen. I mean, hundreds of people lost their lives and many are still missing. And so this has been catastrophic. And there's been destruction everywhere, as you can well imagine. And many of the homes and buildings there aren't constructed as the ones here. I've been there. I know what it's like. And so we really need to continue to pray for them. And so, Lord, we just lift them up to you. We ask for heaven's intervention in the Asian Pacific region, for the Philippines, Taiwan, for Vietnam, for all those surrounding areas. We speak peace to those areas. We speak strength to the people. We ask you to minister comfort and encouragement as they work to recover all that is needed at this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, in the middle of these storms, there's something called an eye. And I just found out like last week that I was going to be ministering tonight. And so I said, a lot of times I'll know like what's coming because something will start stirring in me. But I didn't have anything stirring. So I asked the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to minister on? And I just left it like that. And just a short time later, I was walking from my kitchen into my bedroom. And right there in the middle of my living room, it was like a coin dropped down in my spirit. And I know his voice. And this is what I heard. In the eye of the storm. In the eye of the storm. I said, okay, Lord, I've got a title. Now I just need the message to go with it. And so he has been so faithful to help me. So I kind of started researching about storms because, again, we've been praying about this typhoon that's been over there hitting in the Asian Pacific region. And so I know that there are also literal and figurative phrases when you hear the phrase in the eye of the storm. So literally speaking, the center of a storm, such as a hurricane, a typhoon, or cyclone, is called the eye. So the eye is approximately 12 to 40 miles in diameter in the center of a storm. Storms can typically be like around 300 miles, but like this last one, they can go up to 2,000 miles in their width. And in this case, the eye of this storm that just hit in the Philippines was 70 miles in length. Can you imagine? And so the main difference between hurricanes, cyclones, and typhoons is their geographical location. And so they're called hurricanes when they develop in the North Atlantic, Central North Pacific, or Eastern North Pacific. They're called cyclones when formed over the South Pacific and Indian Ocean. And they're called typhoons when formed in the Northwest Pacific. So that's basically the main difference. But in the eye of the storm, something amazing is happening. In the eye of the storm, there is calm and there is peace. Even though there's violent wind and rains in the band of the storm, in the eye of the storm, there is peace. There is clear skies. The eye, however, is surrounded by what's called an eye wall. And in the eye wall, that's where the strongest and most violent winds are in the heaviest rain. These storms, they build up, listen to this, when there's low pressure. When there's a low pressure system. You know what it's actually called? It's called a depression. It's called a depression. And they commonly form out in the tropics, near the tropics, near the equator, because that's where water is warm. And when water is warm, what does warm air do? It rises. And so the warm air the warm air rises and it gains momentum and it gains speed and it gains strength. And the Coriolis effect, I'm not a meteorologist, trust me, but I did look these things up. The Coriolis effect causes it to curve and to begin to spin. So guess what can stop this low pressure system? There's one thing that can block a low pressure system. One thing that can stop it, and that is a high pressure system. When the high pressure system comes down, it blocks the warm air and it stops and blocks the storm from forming. Isn't that interesting? Hallelujah. What stops low pressure? High pressure. Amen. You know, this is figurative, meaning that the eye of the storm, you know, it can be referred to like, if it's figurative, in the middle of chaos. Have you ever felt that? You're in the middle of chaos. You're in the middle of a difficult situation. But in the eye of the storm, in the midst of that place where there's turmoil, where there's, you know, a disruption to your life, where there's pressure, there is something called the eye of the storm. And in that eye, you can experience calm. You can experience peace. And you can experience stillness, even though things are violent all around. Amen. I mean, it's the world we live in. There's violence in the world. There's upheaval in the world, and especially so much more as we see the day approaching. I mean, we see the signs of the time. But you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Amen? Amen?
Yes.
For Christians, the eye of the storm symbolizes a place of God's peace. His peace that transcends all that you know. It transcends all that you understand. It surpasses your understanding. That's what God's peace will do for you in the midst of the storm. Philippians 4:7 actually says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it will do something for you. It will guard your heart, and it will guard your mind in Christ Jesus. And you know, the scripture tells us we got to guard our heart. Because out of it flow what? The very issues, the very forces of life. And so what helps us to guard our heart? Peace does. The peace of God. So we can receive and experience his peace and his calm in the midst of turmoil, distress, despair, despondency, depression, and pressure. Amen?
Amen?
How can we access his peace? Now, that's a good question. Because in the midst of the storm, you want to look at the storm. But there's ways that we can discipline ourselves and things that we can do to keep ourselves in the midst of the eye of the storm, where there's quiet, stillness, and peace. First of all, praying. Stepping into the Spirit. When you step into the Spirit, then you're above the fray.
Amen.
You're living in a place where you're seeing from God's perspective. Amen?
Amen?
I had a conversation with my good friend Cynthia Jones over there this morning. And I was telling her what I was ministering on. And she had a nugget. Hallelujah. It was one of those things that God added to. And what she said about this is, you know, when you're in the storm, it's your eye that's in the storm. So what are you seeing? What are you seeing when you're in the midst of the storm? Are you seeing his word? Are you seeing him work in your situation by the eye of faith? Amen. What is your eye seeing in the midst of the storm? That's an excellent question. You know, if you see the word and you see the revelation that it has, the word of God is alive and it's full of power. It's operative. It's active. Amen. And I'm telling you, if you see that, it's going to cause you to rise up in your spirit. Amen. If you'll just look to the word in the midst of the storm. How about the Holy Spirit's ministry? You know, he will minister to you comfort. He will minister to you grace. And he will minister to you strength in the midst of the storm. Amen. Trusting God. We got to trust God in the midst of the storm. Because we're wanting to do something. Amen. To get control. Yeah. But you know what? You got to give that up. Yeah, you got to give up the right to understand if you want the peace that surpasses understanding. Yeah. And so you've got to trust God. Amen. How about taking authority? Taking your authority and speaking to the storm. It's so easy to forget when you're in the midst of turmoil and you see everything spinning around you to stop and take authority in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And speak the word.
Yes.
Speak the word only.
Yes. Amen.
We've got to call down the high pressure of heaven and heaven's resources to stop the low pressure that's trying to form some things against us. Amen.
Amen.
The storms of life come to us all. I'm pastoral care. I know this. Sometimes we look at the person sitting next to us and we think, oh, their life, they've got it all together. But I'm telling you, the storms of life come to everyone.
Yeah. All right.
We live in a fallen world, and the enemy is at work. And some storms, we know the storms of life are the result of the work of the enemy's attacks. Like Jesus said in the parable of the sower sows the word. When the word is sown, when you hear the word, afterwards, what happens? When affliction or persecution, when trouble, when distress, when despair shows up, for the word's sake, it arises for the word's sake, then people are immediately offended if they're not rooted in the word. Yeah. If you haven't had that TP time, tried and proven, that means you gotta involve the word in every aspect of your life so that you can see the fruit of it in every aspect of your life. Amen. So that you build your faith. So the enemy comes against the word to take the word out of your heart before it takes root. Because if it takes root, it's going to produce fruit. Amen. So, storms arise to steal God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. God has a plan, will, and purpose for every one of you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And the enemy will try to steal that. Sometimes storms come because of other people's choices, and they affect our life. And in those cases, you've got to pray. How long do you pray? Until.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't quit. Don't faint. Don't give up. Don't get in despair. Hallelujah. Amen. Pray until. Sometimes storms come because of our own bad choices, right? Sometimes we're just drawn away and we're not walking in the word as we should, or we're not following the leading of the Holy Spirit. They work together. And so low pressure arises and rises up against us, and storms try to begin to be formed. Stop the storm before it becomes a mega storm, a super typhoon. Amen. Hallelujah. One thing I know is his mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. And when we miss it, and we will, because we're not perfect, there's only one that's perfect, and that's him. Amen. So when we miss it, we've got to apply 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is what? He's faithful to and just to forgive us. And his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Psalms 46, 1 through 3 says this: God is our refuge. He's our strength and ever present. He's ever present. He's ever present. He's ever present. And he's an ever present help in a time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth shakes, though it gives way, we will not be moved. Amen? Amen. We will not be moved. Why? Because we trust in our God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. When the ground we stand on is shaken, when the storms of life rage, when you can't see the sun, S-O-N, for the clouds, if you're built on the foundation of the word, if you're built on the rock, I'll tell you what, you will not be shaken. You will not be shaken. You will endure and you will overcome. He will preserve you. He will sustain you. He will lift you up. He will rescue you. He will deliver you. Amen. Yes. Isaiah 43:2 says this: when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And the rivers, they shall not overtake you, because you trust in God. That brings peace and it anchors my soul. How about you? It brings a rest. And when you rest in God, that means that you cease from your own labor. All right? And you have to trust in God to be able to do that. It's a place where peace and provision from the storms of life can just abide on the inside of you. Trusting in his sovereignty. Trusting in his presence. Even when everything else is out of control, allow the Most High pressure of heaven to come down upon the low pressures of life. He's so much greater than those pressures coming against you. Hallelujah. In looking at Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 39, it says this. I'm just going to read it to you. It'll be up on the screen. And the same day, when the evening was come, and he said to them, let us pass over to the other side. Now, this is Jesus speaking. What is he saying? Let us pass over to the other side. Amen. So they were about to get in a boat, and they were about to cross over to the other side. And when they had when they sent away the multitudes, because they had just fed the multitudes, they took him in, and he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm, a wind, you know, probably a typhoon. And the waves beat against the ship, and it was now full. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship, he was asleep on a pillow. And they awakened him and they said, Master, don't you care? Look at the storm. Don't you care? We're going to die. We're going to perish. And he arose and he did what? He rebuked the wind and he said unto the sea, what? Peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And so we see an example of what Jesus did in the midst of the storm. You know, he was in the storm, but the storm was not in him. And you can be in the midst of a storm, but the storm cannot be in you. You got to keep that water out of your boat. The water that tries to get in your boat are thoughts. Thoughts of fear. Thoughts of doubt. I'm perishing. I'm going under. Don't you see this, Lord? And he's saying, you do something. Not only did he rebuke the wind, he rebuked them. He said, you got to get up and you got to use your faith.
Amen.
Amen. You got to say something. And so we got to speak to the storms. He spoke to the seismos, the sudden, it said it came up suddenly. Do you know how that happens in life? I mean, you're going along, everything seems to be going good. And all of a sudden, the enemy shows up with a storm. But peace, be still. Amen. Everybody say it. Peace, be still. When he spoke, guess what flowed from him? Peace. Why? Because he was peace. Peace abided in him. When peace abides in you, and it does because Jesus is in you, you can speak peace, and guess what comes out? His presence, his peace. Now, Pastor Tom, if you would just go to the piano for just a moment. You've got to get yourself into a place where his presence abides to receive that peace. And the best place that I can tell you to go is to that place of worship. Go to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. Go to that place of worship. And sometimes that just means sitting before the Lord. And Pastor Tom's just going to play for a minute. I just want you to close your eyes. And whatever cares, worries, anxieties, concerns, they're on your heart tonight. I just want you to let them go. And what I want you to do is I want you to inhale his presence. Just slow, deep breath. Just inhale. Oh, we worship you, Father. We worship you, Lord. Our most high God. You're the creator of the heavens and the earth. And with you, Lord, all things are possible. We will not be moved by the storms of life because, Lord, you are on our side. You are for us. We trust in you. And we inhale your presence, Lord, so that we can exhale your peace. Hallelujah. He's got you. He's got you in the palm of your hand, his hand. And he's working in your situation. He'll work a wonder. And a wonder is something that causes people to stand up and take notice that God is present and that He's working in your life. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Thank you, Pastor Tom. Hallelujah. So good to be in His presence. So good to receive His peace. Amen. So now when Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side," He released those words. And those words were actually prophetic. It was a prophetic statement because they were leaving Jewish territory to cross over to the other side that was Gentile territory. The Sea of Galilee, they crossed over from a Jewish territory to a non-Jewish territory to minister to the Gentiles. So it was prophetic in what He said. Jesus was teaching the disciples about this. And I'm telling you, the enemy came with that storm to stop His mission. Did you hear me? To take the gospel to the Gentiles. To show them another way. The storm arose to stop the mission. Jesus spoke the word, and the enemy had to cease. Amen. And so, you can often feel like that storm that you're in, it's bigger than you. It's bigger than what you can overcome. And you have to remember, just like Jesus, you're going to have lots of endeavors that the Lord's going to put in you, whether they're business endeavors, whether they're mission endeavors, whether it's a day-to-day thing where you're walking out the plan, will, and purpose of God for your life. And the enemy will rise up with storms to stop the mission, to stop the vision, to stop what God has said. Amen. You've got to be the one that rises up and takes authority. So, when the storm seems like it's too big and too much for you to overcome, when the mission seems like, okay, this is impossible, you've got to just simply take the first step. Take the first step. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you walk through something that's bigger than your own hands? One step of faith at a time. Amen? Amen. So I want to look just real quickly before we close tonight at the story of Gideon. Gideon was a young man whom God called to do something so big, it was bigger than his own hand. Now, in this story, the Israelites had turned away from God and they'd begin to worship Baal. And in worshiping Baal, that was their idol. God allowed the Midianites to come in and to begin to oppress and rule over the Israelites because they had disobeyed God. And so the Midianites came in, they began to raid their crops, they began to take their livestock, and I mean, it left them with nothing but fear, and they were hiding in caves just to survive. And so, as they repented, again, what did I say? God is so merciful. He's so great, generous. And as they repented, He called Gideon. And He said to Gideon, "Gideon, you know, you are a man, a mighty man of valor." And Gideon's thinking, "Are you kidding me?" He was in a wine press trying to thresh wheat so that they would have something to eat. He was hiding in secret in the wine press. And he's thinking, "What are you talking about, mighty man of valor? I'm not a mighty man of valor. Who, me?" Have you ever felt that way? But see, God calls those things that be not as though they are. And you've got to call yourself a mighty man or a mighty woman of valor. You've got to call your children, your grandchildren, your loved ones, mighty men, mighty women of valor. Webster's defines the word valor as great courage in the face of danger, especially in a battle, especially in a storm. In the Bible, it means strength, power, courage, excellence, and that would be physically and spiritually. So Gideon's reply was, "Who am I? I'm the least of my tribe. Who am I that you're calling me?" Many times we face storms that we don't know how God could use us. But I'm telling you, he's not looking for your ability. What's he looking for? He's looking for your availability. He's looking for your yes and amen. Here I am, Lord, use me. And so Gideon was at least willing. And what he did is he said, okay, I'm going to offer unto you, Lord. I'm going to offer unto you an offering. And he went to a place and he offered the offering. And that place, he called it something. He called it, "The Lord is peace." Yahweh, shalom. What was he calling the situation? Shalom. Wholeness. Peace that comes from wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen. He named it. He spoke it out. That night, the Lord told Gideon to tear down all of his father's altars to Baal. Now then, Midianites, remember, they worshiped Baal. And here he was going to tear down those idols. So he was shaking in his boots. So he went and he did it at night, but he obeyed. Amen. And the next morning, they wanted to kill him. But Gideon, his father stood up for him. And his father said, "If Baal is God, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down." And so Gideon prepared. God told him to prepare for battle. Now, check this out. He's going against the Midianites, who probably were over 100,000 soldiers. I mean, you couldn't even name, the Bible says, you couldn't even number their camels. There were so many. And he's calling Gideon to go up against them. Okay, so Gideon gathers 32,000 men. And he's going to go up against these Midianites. And he's just believing God. Amen. There are several things that happen we don't have time to go into. But you could read that story. So what happens is God says, you know what? That's too many people. 32,000. If I let you take that many, they're going to think that they did it in their own strength. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to tell all of those who are afraid to go home. So he said, okay, if you're afraid, go on home. Guess how many left? 22,000 men left. 22,000 men. But God said, that's still too many. So the Lord sent them down to the spring of Herod to drink water. And all those that cupped the water and lapped it like a dog, he said, keep those ones. But the ones that put their face in the water to drink, they're not warriors. Send them home. So guess how many went home? 9,700 men went home. How many did that leave? 300 men. 300 men. Would you say that's sort of like a storm's brewing in his thinking? 300 men, 100,000 soldiers. 300 men with little to fight with, and they have all these weapons over here. How does that math work? So Gideon listened to the Lord, and the Lord said, that night, you're going to go. Arise and go. Arise and go. So Gideon took his men, and they surrounded the Midianite camp. And he carried a trumpet and a jar with a torch inside of it. And the Lord told them that at Gideon's signal, that they would blow their trumpets and break the jars and shout. Now picture this, you guys. 300 men, a multitude of soldiers. They have, you know, a jar with a torch in it and a trumpet. They're going to blow. That takes some faith.
I guess so.
But we're in the midst of the storm. When you're in the will of God, there's going to be a peace that's going to garrison round about you. So it doesn't matter how big the situation looks on the outside. Maybe God's called you to do something in business. And it seems so much bigger than your hand. You're like that 300 men facing a multitude of soldiers. And there's storms all around blowing. Those thoughts. But God, in the midst, in the eye of the storm, will give you a peace that's equal to your circumstances. Hallelujah. And there will be a calm. And I mean, it won't make sense. But you're in the will of God and you know it. You might be standing for some things right now tonight. You're standing for them. You're believing God for them. Stay in the midst of the eye where there's that peace. Don't get up over there by the eye wall by allowing thoughts to come in. Because you'll get caught up in that whirlwind. Amen. Stay in the midst of the eye, in the midst of the storm. And so what happened is they blew those trumpets and they broke the jars and they shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And the Midianites, they panicked. They turned on each other in confusion and they fled. All 100,000 or however many they were, there was a multitude of them. They fled and Gideon and his 300 men pursued them, went out after them, and received a miraculous victory. Amen. And all the glory had to go to God, because there's no way he could have did that in their own strength. No way. It was impossible in the natural. But with God, all things are possible. Yes. That was the eye of Gideon's storm, where God showed up. Amen. Remember, Gideon called the altar where God, where he consecrated himself for the work God had before him. He called it Yahweh Shalom. He called it peace that comes from wholeness. Nothing missing, nothing broken. It came out of his mouth. He called it so. And guess what he received? Just what he spoke. Amen. Amen. Now, who God calls, church, he equips. Amen. Who he calls, he anoints. Yes, amen. God gave them the victory over the storm that was bringing destruction to their lives. Whatever is holding you back, whatever is coming against you, you gotta, amen, stand, and I'm telling you what, declare peace. Be still. Remember, when low pressure meets high pressure, destruction is stopped. When low pressure meets high pressure, things begin to happen that are impossible in the natural. And the Most High God delivered Gideon. Hallelujah. Delivered the Midianites into Gideon's hand. And he'll deliver you. And he will give you the victory over things. Things that are bigger than your hand. Things that you don't know how it's going to work out. So in closing, I wanted to just take one quick look at Psalms 46:10. That says, "Be still and know." This is in the Passion Translation. "Be still and know that I am God. Surrender your anxiety, worries, cares, and fears. Be still and realize that I am God. I am God above all the nations, and I am exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander. The mighty Lord of angels' armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. Church, the greater one is on the inside of you. And you can do all things through him who will give you the strength, the ability, the wisdom, the provision, whatever it is that you need. He will supply it. Amen. Greater is he that's in you than anything that will come against the plan, will, and purpose of God for your life. Hallelujah. What do you see in the midst of the storm? What is your eye seeing? Are you seeing his hand? Are you seeing his word? Are you seeing possibilities? Amen. That overcome the impossible. Glory to God. Oh, Father, we thank you for the word tonight. We give you glory and honor, Lord. We thank you that you strengthen us with all might in the inner man as we sit under your word and receive it. And Lord, we just take every nourishment from it and let it fortify each and every one. Let it encourage and strengthen each and every one. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name.